The Seductive Language Black Book, Module 8, with Dr. Steve G. Jones. Number 19, Seduction Through Conversation. Why is conversation essential to seduction? A seducer may have feral confidence, a knack for matching and mirroring, and the best stories in the whole city. But without the ability to engage their subject in great conversation, they're still far from seductive mastery and success. Engaging your subject in meaningful and irresistible conversation is a priority if you're planning to use linguistic devices and narratives to capture your subject's heart and mind. Mastering seductive language is one thing, but keeping your subject engaged in conversation long enough for you to be able to use your patterns effectively is a completely different ballgame. This is why I've taken the liberty of discussing at length how you can prepare for the most powerful conversations that you've ever had the fortune of sustaining. We begin with the essential components first before moving to the more advanced tiers of seductive conversations. 1. Body language. While it's true that engaging someone in conversation involves verbal language, you still have to closely monitor how you are expressing yourself non-verbally. To recap, at least 50% of what we express subconsciously to other people is routed through the non-verbal channel. This is why we're able to tell when another person doesn't like us, even if they're saying something such as, "Oh, please do go on with your story." How should you express yourself non-verbally? Well, you can trigger instant attraction by following these simple body language guidelines. Maintain a smiling face. Smiling is the most universally recognizable expression of happiness and contentment and acceptance. If for some reason you woke up one day in the middle of a wild forest surrounded by indigenous tribespeople, you can be sure that they will understand your most basic nonverbal expressions, including your smile. It's what the smile signifies that's so important to seduction. Whenever you smile at your subject, you disarm their resistance by showing them that you are a positive, non-threatening individual. However, I do have to remind you that fake smiles can just as easily be spotted as genuine smiles. There's a world of difference between a real smile and a manufactured one. A genuine smile often covers the entire face, while a fake one often results in forced mouth movements. One of the best ways to create the most perfect smile is by thinking of something in your past that truly made you happy. Keep that memory at the center of your consciousness throughout your conversation with your subject, and the most beautiful smiles will emerge. Of course, you still have to use the proper facial expressions when your subject is sharing stories with you. So realize it would be awkward if you kept smiling while your subject was telling you how their old house burned down accidentally a few years ago. Keep your body open. Openness to your subject can be expressed by keeping your arms and hands far apart and by allowing your subject to see your palms when you're gesturing with your hands. Avoid gestures such as finger pointing, crossing your feet, crossing your legs, or crossing your arms. Crossed gestures communicate resistance, defensiveness, and even fear. For example, a person crosses their hands and arms across their chest to protect the heart and other vital organs in the abdominal region. You may not agree with this idea, but at an instinctual level, that's what the gesture is all about. If you habitually close off your body with a barrier gesture, well, you are signaling that you feel the need to protect yourself from the subject, which shouldn't be the case since you are the natural leader in the dynamic. Maintain eye contact with your subject. Maintaining eye contact with your subject implies that you are thoroughly engaged with what your subject is saying. Being focused and attentive also implies that you value your subject's presence, and this can really improve the positive dynamics of the conversation. The eyes are extremely accurate mirrors of a person's thoughts and emotions. You can learn a lot simply by looking at your subject's eyes. Your subject may attempt to hide their true responses, but you have very little control over the micro-expressions generated by the eyes and the muscles surrounding the eyes. The same applies to the seducer. If the seducer is up to something unethical, then their eyes will betray their intentions to their subject. Proper eye contact can also trigger a hypnotic trance state in your subject. Consistent eye contact will help your subject develop hyper-focus during the conversation. This will further heighten your power as a seducer and influencer. When you make eye contact with your subject, make sure that you don't end up staring or glaring, as this will obviously make the other person uncomfortable or even suspicious of what you're attempting to do. If your subject is uncomfortable, they're going to get distracted easily. A subject who is constantly distracted will be twice as difficult to seduce, so keep it natural. You must not be overly conscious of your body language during actual conversations with your subject. If you pay too much attention to your appearance or how you project yourself to your subject, you're going to lose track of other important components of the interaction, such as subject feedback. Your body language seals the deal, as it signals directly to your subject's subconscious mind. Your verbal input, on the other hand, grapples with your subject's conscious defenses so that overall resistance to your seduction is minimized. In short, how you choose to talk to your subject also has an immense impact on the end result of your seductive efforts. 2. Value. Society has always operated with a concept of value, which is defined as the perceived measurement of usefulness or importance of something or someone. This concept permeates everything that we do, from buying things to selecting individuals who we'd like to associate ourselves with. The general rule has always been, if something has value, then it's worth having or associating with. Does the concept of value affect how people interact with one another? Yes. In fact, when your subject interacts with you for the first time, the first thing that they will do is subconsciously size you up to see if you will have anything to contribute to their life. This may not be open or directly expressed throughout the conversation, but you can be certain that your subject will be analyzing your words to see if you're really worth associating with. If not, then there's no logical reason for your subject to continue interacting with you past the first meeting. With these facts in mind, it's clear that you have to offer some form of value to your subject when you engage them in conversation. So here are some essential guidelines that will help you fill the social requirement. Present yourself as an authority figure or expert. People generally perceive experts as natural leaders. You will gain instant value in the eyes of your subject if you can demonstrate wide knowledge and experience in a particular field. When a person is seen as an expert by their peers, their social status goes up substantially. However, people's expectations of what you're capable of doing also increases as they believe that experts have a much higher capacity to do things than non-experts. This is the main reason why you shouldn't position yourself as an expert if in reality you're not one. You can position yourself as an expert even if you're not one, and people may believe you for a while, but eventually the charade will be exposed, and your reputation as a person, not just an expert of something, will suffer a massive hit. What I'm about to share with you is my understanding of what happened. Allegedly, this is what happened. A good example of this would be the scandal involving Fox News and their resident terror expert, Wayne Simmons. For more than 10 years, Wayne Simmons was invited by Fox News to share his insights on terrorism and other related issues. He made people believe that he was a CIA outside paramilitary special operations officer, while in reality, he was actually a con man with several charges of fraud to his name. The CIA has explicitly clarified that Wayne Simmons has never been a member of the intelligence organization, either in the past or the present. The host of the Fox News show, Neil Cavuto, has already apologized to the public for letting the fraudster present his ideas on national television for more than a decade. However, Simmons' presence on the show has affected the already ailing reputation of Fox News due to familiar issues in the past, and people are already asking if this broadcasting company has inadvertently let other con men share their so-called insights on other news segments. Raise the status of your subject. One of the fastest ways to influence your subject so that they will hold you in high regard is by saying and doing things that raise the social status of your subject. For example, if you're attempting to socially seduce your manager or project leader, you can praise their current efforts in front of other people while citing examples of how they have performed exceptionally well as a leader. The latter point of the demonstration is of utmost importance because if you don't substantiate your claims, you will end up with pure flattery, which, as we've discussed, is a poor choice when you want to seduce or influence someone. When you make an effort to substantiate your claims, your subject will believe that you are an exceptionally observant and insightful person. Consequently, your subject will also believe that associating with you would be a good idea because you have the ability to recognize other people's value effortlessly. The moment your subject begins associating themselves with you, you can expect them to be perceptive of your positive attributes too. Your minor mistakes and shortcomings won't bother your subject anymore because you've already set the track for the special dynamic between the two of you. On the reverse side, if you begin your engagement with your subject by citing their shortcomings so you can establish your superiority or dominance, you can expect that your subject will resist you with all their might. At this point in time, it would be an excellent idea to review the law of reciprocation. The law of reciprocation states that a person will feel obligated to return the favor if they are accorded something with value. The unwritten social code is the driving force behind many marketing strategies, such as giving away free stuff or providing products and services at a largely discounted price. The central idea here is that people will be more likely to respond to you in a positive and generous manner if you give them something first. Become your subject's apprentice. Apprenticeship is another method of covertly raising your subject's social status without them noticing it. A broader discussion of the victim effect can be found in a previous chapter. See On Becoming the Victim. Lowering one's status to raise the other person's perceived social status is the hallmark of the covert seducer, because if this technique is done correctly, its effects on the subject's perception of you would be nearly irreversible if your subject wouldn't be able to figure out why they have become dependent on you all of a sudden. Asking your subject legitimate questions that you know they can answer is the easiest path to success. By asking questions and allowing your subject to openly share their expertise, you are actively shifting the roles within the dynamic. Your subject will become the expert as you transition to become their new apprentice. What's truly fascinating about this approach is that your role as a natural leader isn't threatened by the change in roles. Why? Because the dynamic is dependent on you, not the subject. Your subject's role as an expert will remain valid only if you continue accepting it. The moment you express disagreement with your subject's ideas, their new role is dissolved. A person can only be an expert if they are recognized by those around them. 3. Flexibility. A truly seductive conversation should strike a balance between what your subject knows and wants to talk about and what you'd like to discuss with your subject. If there's an imbalance, you may end up giving the floor too much to your subject, so much so that you won't be able to set your plans into motion. If the conversation leans to your direction too much, your subject may feel that you don't care enough about them. The only way that you will be able to correct the imbalance during the conversation is by being a flexible speaker. A flexible speaker doesn't have a one-track mind when it comes to engaging their subject in conversation. So here are some easy tips that will help you develop better skills as a flexible speaker. Learn to pace and lead your subject. When they are departing too much from the central topic of the conversation, you can use this. Pace your subject by inviting them to be responsive to your questions and input. When the subject is responsive again, gently lead the conversation back to its former track so that you won't be sidelined by your subject's inputs. Shift between being a leader and apprentice. You can position yourself as an apprentice, but at the same time, you can show your subject that you're also capable of expertly leading the conversation. If you become a dead duck during the conversation, the burden of having to sustain the interaction will fall upon your subject's shoulders. Some people like seizing control of the whole conversation, while the majority of individuals do not. It can be very taxing to be the only one speaking in what's supposed to be a balanced two-way exchange. Respect your subject's ideas while being firm with your own. The ideas being exchanged in a conversation have a central role to play in determining the general direction of the exchange. In an ideal world, a seducer would be able to share their ideas and central intent and be met with harmony and agreement. Obviously, this is not the case in the real world because people have a much higher tendency to reject ideas than accept them. At this critical juncture, it's important to realize that you must not react negatively to your subject if they don't accept or agree with your ideas the first time. I know that it can be frustrating to experience resistance after you've properly laid out your ideas and the central intention behind them. However, as a seducer influencer, you have to accept the fact that resistance is a normal defensive mechanism of the mind, and you will meet resistance repeatedly whenever you attempt to seduce or influence another person. 4. Emotional content. In addition to being an exchange of ideas, a conversation is also an emotional exchange where the subject of the seduction experiences a variety of emotions that can either contribute to or detract from the seducer's central intention. When you're conversing with your subject, you should monitor not only their verbal feedback, but also your subject's emotional responses. So here's the formula that summarizes this process. Conversation leads to verbal feedback plus emotional reverberation, which leads to analysis, which leads to adjustments. Whenever your subject responds to a question or relates information to you, there is always an accompanying emotional reverberation that will give you a clue as to what your subject feels about you and the exchange. What does an emotional reverberation look like? A person's emotions can be neutral, positive, or negative. Again, you have to analyze not just the verbal component, but also the nonverbal and vocal components. So here are some examples of reverberations that you can perceive and their potential meanings. Examples: statement, that is so interesting. Verbal, positive and engaged. Nonverbal, non-genuine smile, cold eyes, arms are crossed on the table, eyes are wandering elsewhere. Vocal, low tone, with obvious exaggeration of the word so. Analysis, the subject does not find the conversation interesting and is disengaged from the speaker. The fake smile and the wandering eyes indicate that they are thinking of being elsewhere. The verbal channel is incongruent with the nonverbal and vocal channels. Statement may also be a mixed message, as the subject may be thinking of something else at the moment, such as challenges at work or at home. Statement, oh, I don't know if we should start dating. Verbal, negative, rejection of offer. Nonverbal, genuine smile, open and gentle facial expressions, one hand under the chin, accentuating the face, body is turned toward the speaker and is leaning forward. Vocal, soft voice with moderate volume. The end of the statement was also softened with a hint of incompleteness. Analysis, the subject is verbally refusing the seducer's offer of dating, but two other channels, nonverbal and vocal, hint that the subject is actually interested in the speaker. This is not to say that there isn't any real resistance. The seducer has to contend with internal resistance, which may be harder to counter than external resistance because the subject is hiding their reasons for refusing. In this type of situation, the seducer must exert effort to discover why the subject is holding back on the offer. There may be a single big reason or a string of smaller issues that have to be resolved before the subject will agree to date the seducer. Perhaps the subject is merely waiting for the seducer to make the first move, or they may have apprehensions because they just met the seducer. Either way, the seducer has to find out why the subject is still saying no, in spite of the fact that the subject is already sending positive affirmation signals to the seducer. What are the best practices when holding a conversation with anyone? 1. Listen closely. Listen hard. This rule is especially useful when you're attempting to seduce someone whom you've just met. New acquaintances are naturally cold and distant. Instead of attempting to impress your subject by immediately regaling them with tales of your expertise or adventures, shift to active listening mode and keep listening until your subject begins warming up to you. Don't volunteer too much information until you're certain that your subject has become thoroughly engaged with talking to you. Soon enough, your subject will begin opening up, and this would be the perfect time to start giving them your input. Choosing to listen to your subject for a longer period of time is safer than attempting to force your subject to become engaged with what you want to say, even if they are still unsure as to what they feel about you. You might be surprised at how effective prolonged active listening can be in breaking the ice between two individuals who aren't very familiar with each other. In my experience, the person that everyone loves to talk to is the one who knows how to listen the most. On the other hand, extremely talkative individuals are the ones that people avoid because they talk people's ears off at every moment. 2, keep the faucet open. When your subject begins tapering off in terms of engaging you in conversation, it's time to open the tap to the conversation so that it doesn't die a natural death. Do everything you can to prevent silent gaps in the conversation because it's really hard to recover from these gaps. If your subject has stopped talking for some reason, pull out all the stops and just keep those words flowing. Your subject may feel uncomfortable initially, but through the law of reciprocation, your subject will begin talking again, especially if they see that you're putting in a lot of effort to keep the conversation going. What can we talk about? When a deep and awkward silence threatens your chances of seducing your subject, there's no topic too strange or out of this world that you can't talk about. This is the main reason why seducers have to be well-read and interested in everything and anything under the sun. You need to have a lot of conversation ammunition if you want to break down the awkward silences. In the event that your best stories don't work, ask your subject indirect questions, such as, what are you thinking about right now? So you can figure out what's bothering your subject. You won't get a straight answer every time. But by closely examining your subject's reply, you will have some information as to which direction the conversation should be headed. 3, control the energy. Have you ever experienced a conversation in which you're the one with all the energy and your subject looks like they are about to fall asleep? The essential challenge with this scenario is that you weren't able to raise your subject's energy before engaging them in the conversation. If your subject has low energy, you have to increase it through pacing and leading before implementing your chosen strategy. On the other hand, if your subject has too much energy, they might be too distracted to be seduced easily. Obviously, you have to lower your subject's energy so that you won't have to constantly recapture your subject's attention. Number 20. The irresistible performance. As we've discussed in an earlier chapter, human communication on the whole is one big performance where you're the star performer and the whole world is your stage. Since seduction is an advanced form of communication, your ability to perform well is doubly important. So here are some ways you can improve your overall performance as a seducer. 1, grab your subject's attention again and again. One of the biggest hindrances to successful seduction is your subject's wavering interest in what you have to say. You can have the best laid plans under your belt and the most exotic language patterns to boot, but without your subject's interest, your overall message is likely falling on deaf ears. Don't worry, this is a very common challenge in seduction, and there are ways to rectify the situation. So the following formula sums up the solution. Establishing leadership leads to central topic of interest, which leads to derive subject's angle and foreknowledge, which leads to adjust level of conversation, which leads to subject feedback, which leads to further adjustments. The first part of the solution is self-explanatory. We all know now that seduction requires natural leadership because your subject needs to see you as somebody they can trust and be comfortable with. In certain situations, the image of the natural leader is temporarily suspended to give way to the image of the apprentice, as we've discussed in the previous strategy. But this is only done in certain situations. In the majority of situations, you will have to set and crystallize your position as the subject's leader so that they will think twice about questioning or resisting your message and central intention. The second part involves introducing the topic of interest that you want to discuss with your subject. The introduction should be done gradually so that you can monitor what your subject thinks or feels about it. Nothing could be more stressful to a seducer than having their main idea rejected because they came on too strongly in the beginning of the conversation. Assuming that your subject has accepted your proposed topic of interest, the third step is to find out what your subject knows and their main POV about the topic or point of view. For example, if your central topic is going out with an older guy, you have to discover your subject's initial position regarding the topic. Does your subject agree with the idea or do they reject it? Now, in this case, we're talking to a female. So if she is aware of the basic coordinates of the topic and she expresses disagreement, why does she disagree in the first place? This is vital information that will have a direct impact on your success in seducing your subject. So do everything in your power to find out the whys and the whats of your subject's point of view. The fourth step is adjusting the level of conversation. If your subject doesn't know much about the central topic, you have to accept and fulfill the role of the teacher in the dynamic. You have to be able to demonstrate to your subject why the topic at hand is acceptable and beneficial to you and the subject also. Now, if the subject is very familiar with the topic and disagrees with your point of view, the central adjustment to the conversation will involve influencing the subject to counter any contrary beliefs or values. This may be the longest part of the process because you can't just change another person's beliefs and values. You need to spend time and effort to convince the subject to discard a value or belief in favor of your value or belief. The fifth and sixth elements of the process are interrelated. After your initial attempt to influence your subject, you have to pay attention to your subject's responses. Is your subject agreeing with your idea now or not? This is the basic litmus test for seducers. If the subject doesn't agree with you yet, additional adjustments have to be made until any remaining resistance has been ironed out from the equation. 2, Use proper vocal signals. The most powerful speakers in the world often use different vocal styles depending on what they want to accomplish. Your vocal qualities can either support or reduce the effectiveness of your intended projection. For example, if you wanted to project authority and strength to your subject, but your voice was meek and barely audible, there's no way that your subject will believe that you will have a strong leadership ability. So here are some examples of vocal qualities and their corresponding meanings and/or effects. 1. Slow speech rate. This can help the subject focus on your words initially, but if your speech rate becomes too slow, your subject may lose interest in what you're saying. 2. Moderate speech rate. This is best for asking and answering questions, and it can be used to pace and lead the subject if the subject's energy is too high. 3. Fast speech rate. This can inject excitement and energy into a conversation. Use it only when you're certain that you and your subject are on the same page. Otherwise, you run the risk of being incongruent with your subject. When your subject is showing signs of agreement and high energy, match their responses by slightly increasing your speech rate to signal that you're also excited and ready to take action. 4. High-pitched voice. This may signal excitement and energy, but is generally frowned upon in conversations. Some people make snap judgments about other people who have naturally high-pitched voices. In popular culture, personalities and characters with high-pitched voices are often portrayed as comical and high-strung. 5. Low-pitched or deep voice. A deeper voice can be used if you want your subject to focus on you alone. If you have a naturally deep voice, feel free to use it throughout the conversation, as this vocal quality is versatile and can be used in a variety of situations with good results. What else can be improved with your vocal qualities when speaking to your subject? As with anything associated with the art of seduction, there is a specific process that will help you accomplish better results with your subject. The process is summed up here. Central idea leads to target emotions, which leads to projection, which leads to subject feedback, which leads to adjustments. People normally don't pay attention to their vocal projections because there's a pervasive belief that one's verbal expressions are sufficient to convey the message. We know this now to be false because the wrong vocal qualities can actually alter the final message as it is expressed simultaneously by all three channels of communication: verbal, nonverbal, and vocal. In order to avoid the scenario where you keep sending the wrong message to your subject because of incongruence between your vocal channel and the other two channels, we're going to harmonize all three. The current formula for the process may look or sound tedious, but in reality, it's very easy to follow. The first part of the formula is identification of the central idea that you wish to convey. Ask yourself, what is it that I truly want to express to my subject? Next, do a direct comparison. What are you planning to say, and how congruent is it with what's in your mind? If the two are congruent, move to the next element. The second element is the target emotion. When you communicate with your subject, you must be fully aware of what emotion you should be reverberating to your subject. For example, if you want to tell your subject that they are very attractive, what specific emotion do you feel? Identify the emotion and place it against the general blueprint. Does the emotion support the target message? If it does, take a step back and see if all the elements have clicked together. If the elements are a good fit with one another, proceed to the next element, which is projection. Verbal projection is where all the action takes place. When you're ready to vocally project, that means you are fully aware of what you want to express and you know how to express it properly. After making the vocal expression, check your subject's response and adjust accordingly. Now I'd like you to join me in the next module. I'm Dr. Steve G. Jones, hoping you have an outstanding day.